The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
We come to you today from Milwaukee in a palatial hotel room. Thought about taking the show out, but it might rain and there's some cool backdrops, but you just don't want to get into a spot where I'm scrambling, okay? I'd rather just be here doing my thing with you guys today. Obviously, we're going to talk about the game last night, and we're working a little bit about what's gone on just here in this city, here in Milwaukee, because we have a couple days. You know, game number four is not until Wednesday night. Game five, which will happen, will be Saturday for the Suns at home. And then we're back here, if necessary, next Tuesday for game six. That's 8 days from now, so we have a lot of time in between. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Today's show, we're going to have the four sports, I don't want to call them talking heads, the four sports lead guys from the Valley, all together Zooming. We're going to chop it up here in about 10 minutes. So it'll be Craig Fooey from ABC 15, it'll be Cam Cox from 12 News. It will be Mark McClune from CBS 5 and Arizona's Family. And it'll be Richard Sines from Fox 10. We're going to have all of them together, and I'm just going to throw stuff at them about the game, about the series, are the Suns in trouble or not. But I also want to give them the form of process. So you guys see them come on at night. It looks pretty simple, right? And those guys have been already working on it for tonight because it is a nonstop deal for them. And so the process of how they go about it, what happens when there's other stories in the marketplace, like the Diamondbacks being awful, like the worst ever, or the Arizona State football scandal, how do they cover that? Are they even able to because of timing? Is it just, nope, everybody's talking about the Suns and you let other news go to the side, okay? So we're talk process with them. And then Darren Revelle from the Action Network. I'm excited to have Darren on. Producer Steve found him. And Darren Revelle will get into the sports gaming being legalized in Arizona in early September. The NIL comments that have been going on, name, image, and likeness that I have found to be fascinating as well. All right, so, but let's just start first with what happened here last night. So the Suns got boat raced. They got their ass kicked. It's the only way to put it. Let's not sit here and sugarcoat it. Let's not sit here and put on the happy face. So I thought a couple times they were starting to make some runs. I think they were nervous early in the game. They just did not come out and play very crisp and clean basketball. I'm not going to get into officiating stuff because it feels like every series, it's, well, this ref walked out of the tunnel. Scott Foster walked out of the tunnel. And I heard one Buck fan saying, well, he walked out of the tunnel. He's going to take care of the Suns. And I'm thinking, well, they don't know the history with Chris Paul. Is it something where you sit there and say, why is Scott Foster showing up at any of these games? And then Monty, uncharacteristically for him, started going off in his own way last night about officiating and just the number of free throws that Giannis had. And guess what? They were fouls. The DeAndre Ayton third foul with like 9 seconds to go was a cheap foul. It was. It was a bad call, in my opinion. Do I think that someone got up in the morning and said, you know, we need to have a fifth game and a sixth game for these NBA owners because they're going to make all sorts of money by having more games? Do I think that could happen? Absolutely. Tim Donaghy put that in my head, and I've never recovered from it. But I don't believe that sitting there with 9 seconds to go when it was, I won't say a touch foul, but that was just one of those you look at and say, that could have gone either way. There is a line that three guys are trying to do. And while I said I wasn't going to go into officiating, I just get overrun with that. Every game, it's the announcers suck, they don't like Phoenix, and the referees have it in for us. And it's kind of, I don't know, I think sometimes it's kind of small-minded. You do have to look at what the other team is doing. Giannis was great. He was terrific last night. He is a fun player to watch. I don't sit there and root during games, but I just looked at him and said, man, that guy's a lot of fun. So here is some of Giannis from last night.
I've come a long way just to be able to, you know, sit here, being interviewed by you guys, playing in these games, being with my teammates, you know, thinking I'm going to be out for a year, coming back, like, you know, it's been a long journey, and I'm trying to enjoy every single moment of it. And I know I've said in the past that I'm going to be doing this for a while, you know, for the next 10, 12, whatever yes, whatever my goal is.
How do you not like this kid? You know, the game last night, just is the first time that Milwaukee's had something like this in 40 plus years. It did not feel like a Los Angeles or New York. Like, I'll give you an example. Bucks are bringing the ball up the court in the first quarter, and Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World is playing while they're bringing the ball up the court. I don't know, am I back in high school? The ambiance in between quarters was beer chugging. Kind of fun to watch. Kind of fun to watch. Don't think you're going to see that in other parts of the country, but this is what they do in Milwaukee. It's fine. I'm not beating up on them. It did not have a glitz and glamour feel about it. That's not what goes on here. I feel like in Phoenix, we've got a lot more that is happening, a lot more that is taking place. Some of you that are Bucks fans are thinking I'm attacking you. No, this is the community. I talked to the mayor yesterday. I went down there early and actually did a Facebook Live with the mayor of Milwaukee. Really nice guy. And he said, Brad, you just need to go out in the community and walk around. So I did again this morning. It's a cool little city. It's a little city. It's like walking around. The part that I walked through was like walking through Scottsdale 10 years ago. Nice, refurbished, maybe downtown Chandler, maybe downtown Gilbert. And so when I see a guy like Giannis say, I want to be here in Milwaukee and I want to go about it in this little town, I think it's a kind of a cool story. You know, Devin Booker is not going to continue to shoot as poorly as he did last night. That's not happening. He was 3 of 14. I thought he had some good looks last night. Here's Devin Booker last night.
We're on the road and, you know, we have to come in with the energy and effort. Like you said, the 50-50 balls, the offensive rebounds, protect the paint, you know, just the details that we talked about. Come on, three. Details that we talked about. But, you know, that's what the playoffs is. That's why it's a series. And, you know, we have some room for improvement.
What was interesting is Booker came out with Chris Paul, the two of them together, to talk after the game last night. I found that to be interesting. The big runs that Milwaukee had, the 30-6 run, you're just not going to recover from that. Here's Chris Paul.
I don't know. I got to go back and watch it. Me and Jay was just talking about that in the locker room. During the game, there's so much going on. Substitutions and stuff, so I don't remember much, but that was big for us. And even the second quarter, we didn't close that quarter out well, and that's something we've been talking about all playoffs. So especially when we're on the road, you got to manage the game. You got to manage those end of quarters.
I think the big question today to me, and then we'll step aside and bring in the TV guys, is how do you slow down Giannis if you're the Suns? And yes, Dario Saric in the injury, that hurts, that he's out. You bring in Frank Kaminsky last night, really didn't do much. And Giannis, can he carry Milwaukee on his own shoulders to win a title? DeAndre, I thought, was on his way to a career high. I actually put that on Twitter. It was like first quarter, he was just tearing it up. And I felt like the Suns got away from him a little bit. Bucks started hitting some outside shots. Suns had some good looks, but not great looks. And I thought it was interesting that Monty said to Devin, why don't you have a nice warm seat here in the fourth quarter and just watch. Just watch this. And sometimes when a coach does that, it could be you need to see what was going on out there. Or I need to rest you for the next game. Or you just aren't giving me what I need and I'm sending a message to you. A lot of Monty bashing this morning from fans in Phoenix. I don't get that. A team is going to lose a playoff game, and that doesn't mean you immediately point at the coach and say, well, you know, Mikal Bridges barely shot the ball last night. Mikal Bridges was kind of an empty jersey, I like to call him. Go back and forth. You see the stat box at the end. Yes, defense doesn't show up in stat boxes, but there was not a whole lot there versus what he put up in game number two. Do I think the Suns are in trouble? No, but I think that the Giannis getting on a bit of a roll here, or quite a bit of a roll, is somewhat problematic if all you have is DeAndre Ayton and then you try to go smaller. Jay Crowder against Giannis is not going to work. You can try it for a few minutes. It's not going to work. He's going to get his 35, his 40. So then what do? Do you say, okay, he's going to get his, but we can't have Middleton get warm. We can't have Drew Holiday finally wake up. And that happened last night too. terms of the atmosphere, the Deer District is so cool. It's so cool. I saw where the Diamondbacks back in the Valley are going to open up the stadium, and that's nice. And I saw where last night Spurge was down at the arena, and it was sold out with Suns fans. Guys, they could build three arenas here, and it would be sold out. Both Deer Districts, there's two of them. They show one, I believe, on the ABC side. I didn't have a monitor last night, but they've shown it in the past where it is on the entrance of the stadium. And then they have another one that is to the north of the stadium. And both of them were packed, just packed. And again, it is a community deal. Much different feel than a big city. And again, I'm not being critical. It's just I feel good for these fans here. It's a tough, hard-nosed group. But it's a different NBA Finals feel. I think within like a 30-second span last night, I leaned over to John Gustafson, the great photographer over at Channel 3 who I used to work with, and said, okay, so they went from Tina Turner to Michael Jackson to Tears for Fears and their music stuff. He's like, yeah, they got to update the jukebox. So it's just part of the atmosphere of the game. All right, the TV talking guys, TV sports guys are next. I don't call them talking heads because I think that's a bit of an insult. These guys work at it, they get after it, and they're putting in their time here. And then Darren Revelle from the Action Network, as we join you from Milwaukee with the Suns, will be here tomorrow. Tomorrow, Bob Ryan is scheduled to be with us. Good to talk NBA hoops with him. And then Nate McMillan's going to be with us later in the week. Nate McMillan, without Nate McMillan, the head coach now of the Atlanta Hawks, Monty Williams isn't doing what he's doing. So we'll get into in the process of how Monty became what he is today through the help of Nate McMillan and Greg Popovich and others as we do our shows here in Milwaukee. You never know who else is going to drop in. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He does not screw up. That is his deal. Steve Burney is a senior executive of everything or nothing, depending on the day, and he helps out as well. We're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised here in Milwaukee, I want to bring in the TV guys to chop it up. We have Craig Fooey, we have Richard Sines, we have Mark McClune, we have Cameron Cox, and I will identify their channels as we go along, but you guys know them very, very well. Let's start with you, Craig, off the top. Are the Suns in trouble, or was last night merely a bump in the road?
Brad, I think it was a bump in the road. Listen, I don't think they're in trouble at all. I know the Bucks come into game four now favored by four. But listen, you're not going to get DeAndre into foul trouble like that. I think that's the biggest issue because you saw that lineup in the fourth quarter. It was pretty bad for the Suns. And then Devin's not going to shoot like that, right? He's not going to go 3 of 14 and sit out the entire fourth quarter. So I think it's a bump in the road. I think the Suns bounce back. And the good news is so far in the playoffs, they've bounced back in every game four of the playoffs.
Cameron?
Yeah, I just don't see Devin Booker playing like that. The one thing, though, that I was fairly interested about at the end of the game was when Monty didn't play him at all the entire fourth quarter. He wanted to sit there and watch. And I was trying to think back in, like, finals history, how many, like, star players have truly just kind of sat out like that in losses and just not played and watched. You got to think D. Booker is going to be extra motivated to come out and definitely play better in game four. That was a big teaching tool in my eyes to sit him down and not have him do anything in that fourth quarter. So I don't see Devin Booker at all playing the same way he did in game three. Now the Bucks did a really good job of not allowing him to get an open shot. So Monty's going to have to do a better job of creating opportunities for him. I just don't see this in any way carrying over for D Book.
Mark, you're out there in Milwaukee this morning doing your thing for CBS 5 and KTVK. What's the feel out there? I'm sure you're hearing, oh, the Bucks are going to take this. What were we hearing the chants last night? Bucks and six. What's your view?
Well, from my view, there were a lot of empty beer cans out here in the Deer District this morning for the morning show.
Did you bring donuts, yeah. Mark? We would like donuts, all of us.
Yeah, we're gonna need those with as hard as all we're going here. And I mean, this is a lot of fun, you know, covering this is my first NBA Finals and just kind of seeing how it's done and just seeing you know, a 7-game series and through the playoffs, just the different narratives that show up each game, and each game kind of has its own personality. I'm not worried so much about the Suns. I think the track record is there. But if you look at just Giannis last night, able to lower his shoulder like he's playing football in the lane and knock people over, and he goes to the line and DeAndre Ayton goes to the bench, I think that is a cause for concern. I think that's why we saw Monty Williams very uncharacteristically say something last night in his post-game press conference about the officiating. I'm very interested to see how Devin Booker comes out and plays in game four. Don't think he's going to shoot the ball that poorly again, but I'm also, I mean, without Dario Saric and Torrey Craig was kind of limping around last night, the Suns, I mean, I think Milwaukee's kind of found something to exploit here for the Suns.
Richard, what struck you most last night? You're out here for Fox 10. What struck you most?
Well, first of all, I want to apologize to Mark for the beer cans. I meant to pick them up last night, but I just left them there. I was in a hurry. I had to get to my live shot. So sorry about that, Mark.
How many did you drink, Richard? Did you have like four or five?
You know, that's the thing here. I guess you got to chug your beer when you're on camera in Milwaukee. I thought that was pretty cool when the fans would do that. One guy crushed the can on his head. I'm going to draw the line on crushing the can on my head. But as far as the game goes, I'll say this. I'll take the Suns plus 4 points. I'll take the Suns on the money line because I think it was a bump in the road. I think they are going to bounce back. Devin Booker's not going to shoot like that again. The three field goals that he had last night was actually the lowest amount of field goals he had the entire season, even the regular season. So, and it wasn't really anything that the Bucks were doing. I think it was more just him missing his shots. He mentioned the looks weren't that bad. He would like better looks, of course, but it wasn't like, you know, Patrick Beverly was breaking his nose like in the Western Conference Finals. So I just think it was an off night, not just for him, but for a lot of the Suns players. And hey, the Bucks are here for a reason. I mean, this is a team that lost to the Nets by 39 points and still won that series. So, you know, I think that was a message win for the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, they deserve to be here. But I just think that the Suns have too much firepower when they are clicking on all cylinders the way they have been. They just had a bad night. I think they'll bounce back. I think Monty will make some adjustments. And I think it's more on what the Suns do than what the Bucks are doing.
Craig, I want to move over to you for a minute with ABC 15 because you're carrying the games. And yet you're out here doing what you do. And I'm gonna open this up to all of you because I want to give the viewer an idea of access. This is a point in time in our industry where it's unparalleled. We don't have access to players one-on-one. If Jay Crowder gets kneed by Anthony Davis, which he did, and we get him for 3 or 4 minutes on a Zoom, which we did, but because the game took place, nobody asked him about getting kneed. You have Mike Budenholzer, who's a coach that grew up in Holbrook. Because there's a series, there's not much made about Mike Budenholzer. And Craig, I'm just going to throw it to you first on the idea of, as a rights holder, are you finding any more access than the other guys that are here?
No, absolutely not. That's the short answer, Brad. There's absolutely no more access than anyone else. The NBA has limited us on number of credentials. They've limited us when we can be where. And practice, even we're sitting about 12 rows up from the court. Everything is on Zoom. The only option you have is there's been a few writers and ESPN guys that have been tested every day and passed the protocols to go down in the media room. But even that is a question at a time and very limited time with each person that this team picks to go on Zoom. So we're the same as everybody. And I will say this, the ratings for these finals so far have been phenomenal. Things that we don't see outside of a Super Bowl in the Valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it makes sense. Cameron, what do you find in the way of access? You did something with Jay Crowder last week. I'm sure you had to work hard to get that done. How'd you go about it?
Yeah, we were kind of able to set that up one-on-one with him, and it just all kind of worked out. I will say this, as far as access is concerned, it's nice to sit next to these three guys again at a game. You know, we haven't done that in a long time. In Milwaukee, we were all squished together like this. I was bumping elbows with Richard and Craig throughout the entire game. So that was kind of cool to hang out with these guys. We haven't done much of that over this past year and a half because everything's been on Zoom. So I thought that was neat. The biggest difference for me is just the atmosphere sometimes at media days in the NBA finals. You know, 7 years ago when I worked in San Antonio, got to go through their runs in the finals with the Heat. Like media days and practices every day, there were hundreds and hundreds of media members usually at practice. It looked like Super Bowl media day at times. You know, you had podiums going on the court. You could get literally anybody on the roster because during those practices, they're open and guys just hang out, assistant coaches and all that. You could walk right up to them, get a few minutes with somebody, just talk about the game or talk about their life or whatever, and really can provide some compelling content to your viewers. Nowadays, it's just not that because it's on Zoom. You're away from the player. So that's the part that I miss, is not being able to have those conversations and tell some of those stories. And yeah, it's just totally different during practices when all the media is way away from the crowd up in the stands.
Mark, do you have to go about it differently in putting your content together because you're doing a morning show back to Phoenix for KTVK, and yet you're going to be on tonight? It's basically 24/7 for you while you're out here, right?
It is, and it's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun. It's a privilege to be out here. And you think about like where we were this time last year. Did we even know the Suns were going to the bubble yet? You know, and we're here at the NBA Finals in Milwaukee. If you would have told me this even 4 months ago, I wouldn't have believed you. You know, and just to kind of pick up on the point about the Zoom and how things go. Yeah, it's harder to get, you know, the feature stuff, the fun stuff, because I feel like, especially right now, the players don't want to say anything. I can't blame them. They don't want to give any bulletin board material, but. You know, like with the Torrey Craig injury the other night, we're sitting there taking it live. I had my hand raised. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what happened with Torrey Craig's knee injury. Nobody asked about it. We didn't find out until a day later when Woj tweeted about there was no structural damage to the knee. You know, and that was a big storyline. I was really surprised nobody downstairs asked about that.
And sometimes we don't get called on as the local guys. I mean, right. The Suns right. do a good job if they see one of our hand raised in those Zooms calling on us, you know, because all four of us are on TV right after the game. And so we're not in the room. It's, you know, we're listening and talking and going back to listening. And so the Suns do a decent job of calling on us when our hand is raised. But sometimes if the NBA's running it, like we don't even get a question in sometimes. So that's a little tough after the game.
I want to go back to what Mark was saying, because, you know, Mark made a good point where last year at this time, we were doing stories on millionaires arguing with billionaires about not playing baseball. So, you know, we got to count our blessings that we're actually, you know, talking about a legitimate sport and games and have fans in the stands. And a cool moment before the game, you know, because like Cam said, we're crammed into each other. I actually leaned over to Cam and said, oh, by the way, we're getting paid to be here. So, you know, yeah, it's different. There's new challenges, but it's still a great gig. And the access is, I mean, I got better access to Kendall Jenner than I do to Devin Booker, you know, so that's kind of weird. But, you know, the cool thing is that we're actually talking about a game and that there's fans in the stands and you get that energy. But about not being in the locker room, like Mark said and Cam said, it's really challenging because you can't ask the questions that you want if you're on Zoom. You have to raise your hand. You have to hope that they call on you. And also, when you're in the locker room, even if you're not asking questions, you can look and see body language and see like, oh, yeah, Devin Booker was really bummed out. Or, you know what, he wasn't that worried. Or you can see, yeah, I saw Torrey Craig and he looked like he could barely put any weight on that knee. That's the access. That's the kind of insight we would normally get that we're not getting this time around. And for me, I got to kind of worry. I worry a little bit about, I wonder if these players and these organizations and these different teams are liking the fact that we're not in their face, and if they're going to try to make this a normal thing, which I hope they don't.
Craig, I want to go back over to you in terms of process, and this is for all of you guys, and I don't need to go in order, but I will start with Craig and jump on in. Your day for tonight's show starts pretty much the moment you get up, and I don't think fans really, really realize that. Take them through the process of, is it the morning meeting that you get a phone call from, or do you call them and say, this is what we're going to do? When you get a call from a producer and they say, hey, we want to find a fan piece. And you're like, well, I'd really like to do something on Giannis against Ayton. Walk through that process for the viewer.
Well, and it's interesting, Brad, because like Cam said, before we even started this, he didn't get back to his hotel this morning until about 2:20. I didn't get in bed until about 1:45. And then the morning meetings start very early, right? And so the planning for the day starts, and it actually happens a couple, 3 days ahead when they put together a tentative plan for 3 days out. And then it's the phone calls come in from promotions, from producers, and we have various shows throughout the day. We have a morning show, we have an 11 o'clock show, a noon show, a 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 and 10. And so they're all calling and texting and trying to get their storylines in, what they want. And then you have to come back and say, you know what, we're working toward this, if this works for you. So it is a complete day. Like there's no sleeping in at any point in any day. And so, as Mark said, he's out doing live shots this morning for KTVK. So they are long days. It's fun. I mean, listen, I've been here 23 years, Brad, never been to an NBA Finals. It's been 28 for the Suns. So I think it's ecstatic. I'm ecstatic over it. I think it's exciting to be there. I'm just having the time of my life, even though I'm working on no sleep for a couple of weeks.
And that's why I'm wearing this. I actually had a live shot before this Zoom, you know, for our morning show. So, you know, I get it. But let's just clarify one thing. The only reason Cam got in at 2:30 is because he was partying last night.
Don't you do it.
Yeah, no. Cans are out there. You know, I saw him crush one against his head. But anyway, it is nonstop. And part of it is the access that the stations have to us now. Before, it was like, well, we don't have a live truck. We can't get the sat truck. Now they're like, hey, you just pop up on your phone, use an app, and we know. So there's no excuse about, well, we don't have the ability to go live now. Now they want you live like that, you know. And so there's some good and bad to modern technology and the way it's changed the way we get our message across and do our stories. But, yeah, it is nonstop. It's 24-7 here, and they want more every time. And we try to give them what they want. But, yeah, the days of sleeping in and going out and checking out the town and all that, those days are over.
No, especially with the two-hour time difference. When it's light here, the morning show's going on back in Phoenix, so you have to get up, do something, then you're doing something, like Craig said, for the noon show and all the afternoon show. We've already been writing some of those this morning, so it's nonstop, but this is just so much fun to do. It's so cool for our city, and I, you know, listen to these guys talk. Like, this is kind of what this run is about, is the people, and it just makes the work so much easier, you know, when you know what this city has been through and you know what this city can accomplish at the end of this. I will say this, Richard, did you steal that shirt from Mark's closet? That's burnt.
These are my burnt orange, man.
Mark, when you mess with the bull, you get the horns. You know, we're Texas boys. These are actually my pajamas. These are my PJs. This is how I sleep. It was either stay in my pajamas or put my T-shirt on that says, "Physically, I'm here, but mentally, I'm watching sports." So, one or the other, it was going to be a bad luck either way.
Just right. Don't stand up, Richard. Don't stand up. I'm worried if you got pants on.
Bottoms?
Yeah, yeah. Before I get you guys out of here, a couple other questions, and I'll start with you, Mark, on this one. So the NBA Finals, it's a terrific story. It is the story. However, when the Diamondbacks lose 22-1, or Arizona State football alleged scandal, or, and you see other stories that are happening that are local, Mark, how do you balance that with the producers? Are you able to jam it in, or do you sit there and just say, all we're going to do is Suns, and that's that? How do you go about it?
You know, I think a lot of times this summer, those stories have come on off days for the Suns, and we've been extending our sportscast at night, so we've been able to kind of address those. We've also done podcasts, and that's been kind of how we address the ASU football scandal. So, every day – I mean, there could be five different leads. And, you know, usually this time of year in the summer, we're over at like GCU, looking for a track athlete or something like that, you know. So we'll take it. We'll take all of these stories falling from the sky. And by the way, jacket weather this morning here in Milwaukee. I don't know if anybody's watching back in Phoenix, but I heard the low was 90.
Craig, how do you go about it with all the stories going on, especially as the rights holder?
Well, yeah, and that's it, Brad. As the rights holder, it's all Suns for us 24-7, right? Our producers, our management, they don't want anything else but Suns. I mean, I think the Suns fan base is insatiable right now. They can't get enough Suns. Mm-hmm. And so when we come on with our post-game shows, we're going to podium. We're listening in to Monty. And it was interesting last night that Devin and CP3 came to the podium together, right, on an off night for Devin. The buddies kind of joined together. But yeah, we're doing a lot of stuff post-game and early in the day, and they can't get enough Suns. And so we're doing wall-to-wall Suns coverage for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Richard?
Yeah, you know, like this for the Suns, right? Thank you for giving us something other than the D-backs or, you know, the ASU stuff to talk about. And that's what we're going heavy Suns, obviously. That's the story. You know, that's what people are asking about. But you do have to, you know, give time to the other stories. But right now it's all Suns all the time because – you know, what are we going to do? Wait till they're in the NBA finals again? 28 years from now, I'll be out of the business by then. So let's ride this way while we can. And then there's plenty of baseball left. We'll have plenty of time to talk about, you know, the D-backs and, you know, people are, you know, talking about firing Torrey Lovello and all that stuff. You know, the guy was manager of the year just a couple of years ago. It's not like he forgot how to manage, you know, so, but anyway, don't get me started on that. Yeah. It's all Suns right now. And that's the feel good story. That's what people have been waiting for such a long time. And I think that's why this fan base has been so rabid, because it's been 10 years since they were in the postseason. Then they get in and next thing you know, we're in the NBA finals. So, and then when you consider, you know, that they were all cooped up, you know, at this time last year, it's like cabin fever and Suns fever together. So it's been a great thing to cover.
Cam?
Brad, I can't believe you brought up the D-backs with the Suns and the NBA.
I know, right? Why do you got to bum us out, Brad? It's part of the battle.
Their first loss of the year. Lost again this morning. They didn't even play this morning.
They have to be cheering so loudly about what the Suns are doing because it's great for the Valley. I understand that.
Yes.
But it's completely taken the attention of just how awful and putrid the product is. And in our business, when things are bad, we're supposed to point out things are bad. At least that's how I see it. And everybody's different about it. For them and ASU to get off pretty much scot-free on the Suns' success is somewhat disappointing to me. It doesn't mean I'm sitting there looking for the negative. It's just a fact. It's like these guys for the last 10 years. They were awful. They were putrid. And now it's great. And if you don't point out they're awful and putrid, and it's like, hey, go team, and they're winning, what, 18, 19 games?
Yeah. Well,
Brad, what's the
contact? I'll say this real quick with the D-backs. Richard, I agree with you. I don't think they should fire Torrey Lovello, but they got to get rid of most of the guys on that roster, need to clean house. It's just clear a lot of those guys don't play hard anymore. And I will say this, ASU's time is coming. When Camp T gets here, as soon as they get here, there's just no way those first couple of days at camp, whether it's Herm, whether it's AP, whether it's all those guys, that those questions just aren't coming. So, I mean, as soon as those guys are available and start running through camp, I mean, that's going to be, I would think, the majority of the big story coming up as soon as they get rolling those first couple of days of camp, wherever they hold it, Camp T, Tempe. But you know, Herm's got some tough questions coming his way that he hasn't faced here in the Valley yet.
Yeah, and you can't.
And the other thing that's happening, guys. Go ahead.
You can't ignore the fact that the D-backs are putting a bad product on the field. It is bad. Right. You got to say it's bad because it is. But you know, yeah, they do need to make some changes. And you know, I had one guy. Tell me, you know, what's up with these D-backs? You know, I know they've had some injuries, but these guys are playing like minor leaguers. I'm like, you mean the minor leaguers they brought up to the big leagues? They are minor leaguers. You know, it was a bad team already. Then you add the injuries, and it just got worse. And, yeah, you're right, Brad. You do have to call them out on what they've been doing and the product they're putting on the field. That's for sure.
Craig?
Well, the other thing that's going to happen, Brad, that we haven't mentioned is that as soon as these finals are over, the Cardinals start training camp, and then all the focus is going to go to the Arizona Cardinals, right?
Right.
And as Cam said, then a couple weeks later, it's going to be ASU. So, again, the Diamondbacks are going to get a pass a little bit, and we're going to be waiting on Arizona State to start, but it's going to go all in on Cardinals training camp, depending on whatever happens to the Suns, whether it's a parade or anything. We're going to bounce right into the NFL season. So the D-backs are very fortunate this summer that they're falling into the shadows.
Okay, guys, I got to let you go off that. A lot of time that I've taken from you. I know you have work to do here in Milwaukee. Thank you to all of you. It's Craig.
Thanks, Brad.
There's Cam.
Thank you.
There's Richard Sines. There's Mark McClune. They're getting after it, and you can watch all of them throughout the day, night, morning as they do it from here in Milwaukee. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, let's get into the business of sports a little bit. The Action Network and Darren Ravel with us, sports business reporter, senior executive producer. This is a story because I know many of you followed Darren when he was at ESPN and then he went over on this side. And with sports gaming opening up in Arizona, coming up on September 8th, the world's going to change in Arizona. I wanted to have Darren on about that, NIL, and the NBA playoffs and so much more. Darren, thanks for being with us.
You got it, Brad.
So let's go first through the NBA Finals. Just from a gaming Action Network standpoint, what are you seeing out of this series? It's not two marquee cities. Is there a lot of interest nationally, the numbers behind it? What are you seeing here?
It's always hard to tell, Brad, because, you know, obviously we're getting bigger and bigger. There are more states that are opening up, as you mentioned. It is always getting bigger and bigger. So the question then becomes, well, what's our context? Listen, I think it has Giannis. I mean, the Suns have Chris Paul. It's enough that even though the ratings aren't that great, I think that people are certainly betting on it. It also has potentially, now that the Bucks have taken one, the swings that people want. This is something where, you know, the Suns were minus 500 going into game three. And now, you know, now they're minus 200. So people who are, I think it's appealing to actually, you know, bet on the series now because it is kind of a toss up and no one's lost at home.
You know, in Arizona, it is such a close drive to Vegas, and we do quite a bit around the numbers with Jimmy Vaccaro and guys like that up in Vegas. But what do you think is going to be the hook to get the common fan who's never before said, hey, you know what? What does it mean that the Suns are a plus 500? What does it mean? Walk us through that, because there's a big part of our audience in Arizona that has no idea what is coming.
That's part of what we do at the Action Network. I mean, we think everyone, like I think, you know, I worked at CNBC. I think if you're investing in stocks, even if you might not understand something in the beginning, you want to watch what is the most sophisticated thing. But there's definitely something to be said for gamblers who kind of make it more complicated. But let's be honest, this is opening up. We as an industry do better if more people know what things are. So, I mean, very, very simply, if people want to understand right now, if there's a plus number, that's what you would get if you bet $100. So if it's plus 500, you bet $100, you're getting $500. The other way, if it's minus, that means how much you have to bet to win $100. So if right now the Suns are minus 200 to win the NBA title, you'll have to bet $200 to get $100. I know it sounds a little bit complicated, but that's how it is. The minus means how much you have to bet to win 100. The plus means what you would make if you bet 100.
It's kind of like Robin Hood for stocks, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But, and I, you know, I would say as far as people traveling to Vegas, and, you know, I'm in New Jersey here, and I saw it happen all before our eyes in the summer of, 2018 already. But, you know, my friends used to just talk about sports in general, and just by it being available, friends who had not really bet didn't ever feel the need to have a corner bookie or do anything like that, or go to even Atlantic City, which is 2 hours away. They now are talking about, you know, they're discoursing with, you know, talking about gambling, and just because it's around. So that will be the same thing. And with what the Suns are doing, and with what TPC Scottsdale with the actual, you know, having a sports book there, which sounds like it's cool. I am shocked at how quick Arizona got their act together.
Well, I'll tell you, on every corner I'm hearing now, the Diamondback Stadium, Caesars right next door, is taking over an entire sports bar and is going to build a sports book right there. The WNBA, the Mercury, you've seen that story, I'm sure, with their partnership. And it just goes on and on, and in a big hurry. Before I get you out of here, let's go over to NIL. What has struck you most about NIL here in the opening week and a half since it was announced?
I think the opening 24 hours was one of the craziest things in my 21 years of covering this business. It was just a free for all. And I think that in a week and a half, you know, now I think people are more calm. I think it is going to manifest itself that there's going to be people who will not make that much money. I think the Spencer Rattlers, I think even the influencers who happen to be athletes, the Kavinder twins at Fresno State, Olivia Dunn at LSU, they'll also make money. But, you know, the average guy, the average person, the 99.9% will be able to make a couple thousand dollars. And I'm not trying to dismiss that at all. But I also don't think it's going to be the gold rush that many people thought it would be.
How about Miami of Florida and what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of cool ideas, right? So you have a guy who has gyms, who is a booster. I mean, boosters can now DM, you know, athletes, direct message them. And he's, you know, he's saying, okay, I'll sponsor the whole football team. Derek King, the quarterback, saying, well, I'm going to share the wealth. That's also an issue, right? Like, you know, does the locker room change if a guy's making tens of thousands of dollars and not sharing? I mean, does the right tackle or the left tackle deserve something from the quarterback? And so I think Miami's kind of been the highlight in that you have a relationship where the whole team is getting everything. And then you also have a guy who's very marketable saying he will share with the team.
And I've had I have had high school parents that have actually asked me, you know, why can't my 16-year-old now go represent the local running store? And
it's going down to the high school level where parents are trying to figure it out. And Kevin,
yeah. So it's once you've signed. So I mean, then the question becomes like, is a sophomore in high school going to sign with a school? And then there's a question. There's a lot of questions, right? Because the NCAA has just been like, yeah, we're not doing anything here. I mean, they don't have a database. They don't have a clearinghouse. There's nothing. There's no rules of this is what makes an endorsement worth. It should be in between this and this. And if it's not, then we're in trouble. Not even that. I mean, that's what's made it the Wild Wild West, because the NCAA, you know, affirms, you know, they've lost the Supreme Court case and they don't want to put any parameters on anything because they're scared legally. And now we have this, it's just a free for all. No one knows what to do. And each school is making up their own rules.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not over yet. I think there's going to be some really interesting twists and turns along the way on that one. Darren, good stuff. Appreciate the time and the insight. Great work over at the Action Network. Thanks.
You got it, Brad.
There's Darren Revelle with us, and we're back with more after this time out.